the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we continue the feast that we began on yesterday, September 14th each year, which is called the Exaltation or the Elevation of the Holy Cross. And if you were here and saw the service, you see how we elevated the cross and blessed the church during the procession with the cross. And we celebrate this feast every year on September 14th. There are historical reasons why the feast is even celebrated and why it's placed on September 14th. But practically speaking, it works out very well because we celebrate two main services of the cross. There's a third one that's a small celebration of it on August 1st. But the two main feasts of the cross are September 14th, the elevation of the cross, and the second one is the adoration of the cross, which is the third Sunday of Great Lent. And of course, we celebrate the feast of the adoration of the cross on the third Sunday of Great Lent, as I've explained before, because it's the middle of Great Lent, and it's right in the middle of our fasting, and it's a reminder to us that everything that we're doing during that Lenten season is not about us. It's not about our fasting. It's not about the works that we're doing. It's about what Christ did for us on the cross. So halfway through Great Lent, we're reminded that it's about Him and not about us. And then it works out very well because, you know, the adoration of the cross usually ends up being about March sometimes. So about halfway through the year, when we have gotten past that service, and maybe we're going on with the rest of our lives, and those of us in America are worried about the Chiefs or whoever team we follow and what they're doing, the church reminds us that the essence, the center of our life, is the work that Christ did for us on the cross. And so that's why we celebrate this feast. Here today we continue the celebration for 1 week through September 21st. And I want to share with you today some passages that we read on the Feast of the Cross. We heard at Matin service for the Feast of the Cross, according to the Gospel of St. John in the 12th chapter, Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake and not for mine, the voice of the Father. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I," speaking of his crucifixion now, "when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And then John tells us that Jesus said this to show by what death he was to die. And the reason what St. John is talking about here, if you think about just the visual of Christ out on the cross, you have the same visual that you have when I think about it, when my kids were little and I'd come home from work and they were excited to see me, you know, before they're teenagers, now they're not excited to see me. But when they were young kids and I would come home and I would go through the door and they would come see me and I would open my arms and welcome them in to give me a hug. That's what St. John is saying that Jesus was doing through this crucifixion up on the cross. He was drawing all men to himself. Come to me. Come here for a hug, so to speak. That's what Christ was saying. And I want to highlight this more in a minute. You'll see what I'm saying, but I want to share one other passage with you as well. This comes from also St. John's Gospel, later in the Gospel, and it was in the reading for the Divine Liturgy. And this is when Jesus has been crucified, or is going to his crucifixion, rather. And Pilate said to the Jews, "Behold your king," presenting Jesus to them. And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And we see in this how these chief priests denied not just Jesus Christ, but they denied what all of the messianic figures had been trying to do, which is to throw out the occupying Romans, and now they bow the knee. and say, we have no king except for Caesar's. Why? Because they have a common enemy, Jesus Christ. And I will talk about that passage in more depth as well. But before I do that, I'm going to turn to your bulletins. As you know, this week I put out a guidebook for our parish. If you're on our email list, you know that the guidebook is in the back where the bulletins are. If you want a hard copy, if we run out of more, we can print some more. If we run out of them, we can print some more. But I'm going to highlight something from that handbook or that guidebook each week. And I wanted to begin by going back to our statements of purpose that are printed here for you in the bulletin. And talk about how these are related to what you heard me read about Jesus on the cross. And so you can see our statement of why St. Mary Orthodox Christian Church welcomes those seeking holiness and salvation through a loving and nurturing spiritual family. Notice how I highlighted this time, a loving and nurturing spiritual family. Our core values, the first one listed, to be a loving, welcoming, and inclusive Orthodox Christian community. You can read the others later. I don't have time to do it all in this sermon. Our mission statement is to worship and honor God by living and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through prayer, unconditional love, mercy, and service to others. And then finally, our vision is to reflect the light of Christ as a welcoming community. Now, we could look at these words, especially those that I've stressed, that we're a welcoming community, that we offer unconditional love, that we seek to be an inclusive Orthodox Christian community, and you could say those are just buzzwords. Some people, in fact, I can't even remember now where it was, a gathering of some of us Orthodox Christians, I believe it was just the clergy, and there was controversy around use of the term inclusive and whether we should use that term or not, and I'll get to that more in a minute as well. But the point now is that we cannot concern ourselves with what anyone else might think except for our Lord Jesus Christ. And the basis for us being an inclusive community, the basis for us being a welcoming community, for offering unconditional love, is what we hear about Jesus Christ as we celebrate this feast of the cross. That he hangs up there with his arms outstretched to welcome everyone, to come to him, for salvation, to come to him for rest if you're weary. And our church is, if we are a reflection of this crucified Messiah, is a place for everyone. It doesn't matter what their sins might be. They are welcome in our community. We cannot prejudge people. We cannot put fences up around people. We cannot make them feel uncomfortable coming and being a part of our community, because we judge them in advance. Or we tell them, we don't like your specific sins, our sins are better, so we're more welcome here. At the same time, as we know, Jesus doesn't just welcome people as they are and just leave them there, but he transforms them. And so that's what we seek to do as well. And you can see this in many of our other statements of purpose. How we don't want people just to come to us as they are and stay as they are. We want them to seek holiness and salvation. We want them to repent, which means to change. But you see, they do that when they're here. They do that when they're loved. They do that when they're accepted and when they're included as part of our community, and not when they're prejudged and not made to be welcome. So we have to keep at our forefront, brothers and sisters, these statements of purpose. And many of us might feel uncomfortable, as I said, some of the clergy did when you use terms like inclusive community. Someone says, you have to be careful what you mean by that. I said, what do you mean you have to be careful? Who cares what anyone else means? when they use that term. That's not for us to worry about. But you see, what so often happens for us is that we are like the chief priests in that second passage I shared with you. And that is, we think we have a common enemy, and so we align with people who actually are not our allies. And as we come up on this election season, many of us can be fooled. And we can think that this political party or that political party or this candidate or that candidate is our ally. It's not the case. It's not the case. Have any of you seen an Orthodox Christian running on Orthodox Christian principles in any of the elections that you're going to be voting for? I don't think so. So maybe we have some things in common with some candidates more than others. But none of them are going to put out their statement of purpose the same as ours. Their statement of why the same as ours. Their mission statement the same as ours. That's what should be the first and foremost in our life, is this church community and our preaching salvation here. If you want to get involved in politics, fine, but it's secondary. You know how many Orthodox Christians, the vast majority of them, brothers and sisters, never had a chance to elect someone who would be their leader, under whom they would serve. They just were given a leader. It was appointed to them. They had no choice in the matter. And guess what? Our faith survived and thrived and even came here to North America and is spread across the world. So we have to remember, brothers and sisters, not to put our trust in any of the political candidates. We have to remind ourselves not to be like these chief priests and sacrifice our religious principles and sacrifice our faith because we may have a common enemy or two. The only thing that should matter for us, the primary thing that should matter for us, is that we follow the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and we never, ever compromise those. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship under the ages of ages. Amen.